What is the biblical mark of the beast? Who is the end time beast? Why does the mark of the beast put all true Christians at risk who don't receive it? In the book of Revelation, Jesus Christ warns all Christians not to receive the mark of the beast, and that those who do will suffer serious consequences. Can the mark of the beast deeply affect your faith and the lives of your families? These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
You know, many Christians and non-Christians alike are fascinated by biblically prophetic topics like the end times, the beast of Revelation, the false prophet, and the mark of the beast. Prepare to be challenged on the Good News Radio today as we tackle some biblical prophecy concerning the beast of Revelation. We're joined by senior writer for the Good News Magazine, Gerald Ost. Gerald, once again, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Gary.
Since we're focusing on the mark of the beast today, would you give us sort of an introduction, an overview of the subject?
I'd be happy to, Gary. You know, to most Christians, the mark of the beast is like facing the plague. Christ says that those who voluntarily receive the mark of the beast will suffer severe punishment. We're going to get back to that just a little later. Now, from Revelation 13 to Revelation 20, there are 8 references to the mark of the beast. The key idea behind the mark of the beast, his number or name, is this: it is emperor or leader worship. Now, those who refuse to receive any one of these 3 things that identify this will be persecuted, and some will be martyred. First, we'll identify, Gary, the beast and then his 3 signs. The revival of a great end-time confederation of nations is the beast power, revealed to us in Revelation 13:1, Revelation 17. The beast power is now, today, developing as a world power, shocking as that may sound. In Revelation, the word beast refers to the political head over the beast power. Now, both the beast and the beast power are important. Scripture and history tell us that the final beast power has existed over 2,000 years and been revived 6 times over the past 1,500 years. In the end time, it's going to be revived 1 final time, supported and influenced by a great religious institution.
So when we talk about the beast, we're talking about actually 2 different things. They're combined. One is an actual person who rules over a power or a kingdom or an empire.
That's right.
Okay. Now, in Daniel 2, we always go back to Daniel 2 as our starting point when we talk about world empires. Of course, Daniel writes about 4 world-ruling kingdoms, from Babylon to Persia to Greece and finally the Roman Empire. He also prophesied that Christ would destroy the system of empires when he returns. Now, so let's go back to Daniel 2 before we jump into Revelation here. How does that apply to Revelation 13 and 17 and the scriptures we're going to talk about today?
Good place to start, Gary. Daniel was inspired to reveal the successive Gentile kingdoms. They're all called beast powers. Find that in Daniel 7 and verse 3. And these beast powers lead to the final revival of what might well become a revival of the ancient Holy Roman Empire. Now, the beast of Revelation 17 is the final emperor or leader of the beast power. This may well be a great confederation of European nations. In Revelation 13:1, we see these successive beast powers that have transpired over millennia, thousands of years. Revelation 17 shows the final revival of the last beast power, which I have called the Holy Roman Empire. Could be, might be of another name. A great religious body will spur its revival. Any good European history student knows that a great religious body supported the revivals of the Roman Empire over many centuries. We'll touch on that later. Revelation tells us that a great religious leader will compel or force all Christians to worship the leader or the emperor. Those who accept the mark will live. those who won't will be persecuted.
Of course, now the question comes up, how can you identify this mark? And of course, in Revelation, it talks about the mark of the beast, the number of the beast, the name of the beast, and what does that all represent? Well, first we want to tell you about a booklet that you can get free of charge that will answer all these questions. But then we're going to be back to talk about it in great detail. So we'll be back right after these messages.
The book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, is to many people its most confusing. They find its strange symbols and images puzzling and mysterious. But it need not be so. The book's very name means a revealing, a way to gain understanding. Its first verse tells us it was written to reveal things which must shortly take place. We've prepared an exciting, eye-opening new booklet, The Book of Revelation Unveiled, to help you understand what will take place in the days ahead. For your free copy, call right now, 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, The Book of Revelation Unveiled, you can discover the truth of this surprising message Jesus Christ brought. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232. Order today.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
We're talking with Good News Magazine writer Gerald Ost about a very interesting, but very complicated, really, subject here. And people need to get their Bibles. They need to get the booklet we're offering today and do some in-depth study on this, because we're just touching this subject. But we're talking about the mark of the beast prophesied in the New Testament book of Revelation. You know, Gerald, just before the break, you gave us a fairly comprehensive overview of the Bible's description of the end time beast power. We talked about Daniel 2, Revelation 13, Revelation 17. Now, you suggested that the end time beast might also be a revival of the Holy Roman Empire. Maybe expand on that a little bit.
Some people might call this like just a silly notion, but there's more to it than meets the eye. I support this claim that it could be something like the Holy Roman Empire, even the name itself, by connecting secular history to Bible prophecy and Bible history. Now, the Bible and history clearly show that the final beast power is a type of, if not a revived, Roman Empire, since the final beast power in Daniel is just that. It takes a little explanation for that, but we can come to see that. World history clearly identifies Europe as the only world-ruling empire aligned with a great Christian body. Only European history compares to Daniel 2, Daniel 7, Revelation 13, Revelation 17. Daniel 8 pointedly describes the second and third beast powers as Persia and Greece. Daniel 2 and 7 described the first beast as Babylon. Now, what do we got? Well, the only one left is beast number 4. And the only great Gentile kingdom that followed in order, Babylon, Persia, and Greece, was the Roman Empire. To me, it's inescapable. Incredibly, depending on how you view it, the Roman Empire lasted approximately 1,000 years. Now, it was overrun by three different smaller empires, finally revived by Justinian in A.D. 554. But since that time, it continued in some form, supported to some degree by a great religious body, for another nearly 1,400 years. And I'm saying from Justinian in 554 to Mussolini. No Asian nations or confederations ever supported Christianity, or vice versa. Can't say that North and South American can qualify as beast powers supported by a Christian institution, since our histories begin at best in the 1700s. Greatest of these, of course, is our own United States of America. Can't claim a world-reaching power until the early 1800s. Only a great European combine can answer the symbolisms of Daniel and Revelation. Only Europe can become a revived Holy Roman Empire.
Well, of course, the Holy Roman Empire was in Europe. Sure. And, you know, when we go back and we look at Daniel 2, Daniel 7, there are a lot of Catholic Protestant scholars who agree that Daniel 2, Daniel 7 are talking about those four empires, right. Babylon, Persia, Greece, and the Roman Empire. So that is a generally believed concept. And when we go to Revelation 13 and 17, as you say, John's writing at a time when the fourth empire exists, and he's talking about what's going to happen in the future.
Right.
Daniel 2 says the fourth empire is destroyed when Christ comes to set up his kingdom.
That's right.
That hasn't happened yet. So the fourth empire has to, in order for those prophecies to be fulfilled, has to be revived. It has to come on the scene again. So maybe talk a little bit about that final revival again, and let's get into that a little bit from the viewpoint of Revelation then.
Boy, the way you put it was right on the money. Revelation 17, for example, verses 9 through 13. They tell us that the beast is revived seven times. Jesus Christ brings the reader to the point of the sixth and seventh emperors. That's an amazing thing. Some Bible students have tried to find revivals of the Roman Empire that seem to fit this prophecy. Now, if you look through European history, some of the Holy Roman Empires are even more obvious than others. Justinian, Charlemagne, Otto the Great, Charles of Habsburg, among all of the Habsburgs, and even Napoleon. Each of these was crowned, amazingly, as Holy Roman Emperors. Now, some think that the sixth emperor might be Mussolini, although it was Hitler who tried to institute a thousand-year kingdom on earth. Now, the important thing, Gary, is to remember that the seventh Holy Roman Emperor or leader or whatever he's called at that time, he's still yet to come, as you mentioned a little earlier, and he is going to be ruling just before Christ returns.
So it's not real important that Christians put together who all these different emperors were. I've seen different charts and different people trying to pinpoint this person, right. That person. The important thing to remember is this empire has to be revived at the end.
Right.
And that it has to have religious connotations to it. There's a religious leader involved in it, plus a political leader. Now, we look at the EU today.
Yes.
And obviously, they're attempting, and in very many ways, surprising to Americans because we don't get enough news out of Europe, they're actually forming a union that is stronger or is as strong economically as the United States.
Oh my.
Their political clout is going to be enormous. Their military capability is enormous. And so that's being formed. Of course, the EU is made up of a lot of different nations. Germany and France and Russia have even discussed maybe forming a separate organization because they're a little bit upset with how slow the EU is being formed. Now, the Catholic Church, of course, wanted the EU charter, they're creating their constitution, to actually declare them as the primary religion of Europe. But that's not quite what happened, is it?
No, that's an incredible thing. You're right on in this, everything that you said, of course. You know, it was back in 2003 that the European Union, the EU, actually turned down the Vatican's request that it become the primary religion of the European Union. Now I realize that somebody's going to say, well, you really have changed that a little bit because it means Christianity. But the Catholic Church would be the dominant power within a Christian combine. Apparently, the secular government will not allow any single religious body to influence or dominate them at this time. In the future, however, the secular body will give way to the urgings of a religious leader. And the Bible calls this person the false prophet.
So he's going to create some kind of ecumenical movement to bring churches together, which is amazing when you think how secular Europe is to a great extent.
Oh, yeah. Shocking.
So let's just review a little bit what we've gone over at this point. The current European Union, which is probably going to spawn some other political identity or that's going to form, that's actually going to create a revival of the Roman Empire. According to the book of Revelation, a religious leader will be central to the formation of this new Holy Roman Empire and is going to influence what goes on and is actually going to influence a lot of Christians. We know that. So we're going to take a break now, but when we return, we're going to discuss the mark of the beast, the name of the beast, and the number of his name. So we'll be back right after these messages.
Human efforts at predicting the future are notoriously inaccurate. Self-proclaimed seers and prophets have been proven wrong time and time again. But there is a sure way to know what the future holds. It's written in advance in the pages of the Bible. We've prepared an exciting, eye-opening new booklet, The Book of Revelation Unveiled, to help you understand what will take place in the days ahead. This 32-page full-color booklet will take you through the major themes of the Book of Revelation, helping you discover how it all fits together. For your free copy, call right now 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, The Book of Revelation Unveiled, you can discover the truth of this surprising message Jesus Christ brought. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232. Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the Good News Behind the Headlines.
Welcome back. You know, let's cut to the major subject on today's program, the mark of the beast. Now, we know who the beast and beast power could be from what we've talked about in the first two segments, looking at Daniel 2, Daniel 7, Revelation 13, Revelation 17. We also know that a great church will support this final revival of the Roman Empire. So, Gerald, what is then the mark of the beast, his name and his number, which are so prominent in the book of Revelation?
You know, I want to remind everyone right at the outset, the context of Revelation 13, as it applies to the mark of the beast, is emperor or leader or dictator worship. That's vitally important to remember, Gary. Now, let's focus on the text of Revelation 13, and let's read from 15 through 18 in Revelation 13. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate or count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Now the false prophet, Gary, will be able to make the image of the beast speak, and it'll sentence those who don't receive the mark, which is in the Greek stamp. Christians that refuse the mark won't be able to do business. They can't buy and sell. This means denying them the basic staples of life in order to live. Well, this gets down to emperor worship, and it could demand only one day of worship. Forget about religious freedom, Gary. That's gone.
Okay, what is this image of the beast then?
Well, the word image means a statue or similar representation. Literally, it means an engraved work of art. There is a famous statue in Europe, specifically in Vatican City, that allegedly dates back to Peter. This could represent that image, or it could be some other religious icon. The false prophet will force the world to worship the beast and his image.
Or it could just be something newly created at that moment, that time.
That's right.
Okay.
It could.
Now, you said earlier, and of course I know we're throwing out ideas because we can't be very specific on some things because the Bible isn't, so we just have to look at ideas. But you made a very good point. You talked about how if you can't buy or sell and how this could actually do with the day of worship. or be connected to a day of worship. Maybe talk about that a little bit.
Seems like a quantum leap, but I don't think it's so much of a quantum leap. As to how the mark can apply to a specific day of worship, history shows, far back as the early 4th century, that Gentile Christians in the southern part of Europe struggled with the idea of a Jewish Sabbath. They demanded that all things Jewish, and especially the seventh-day Sabbath, to be removed from the day and time of worship. Their hope was realized in the person of the Emperor Constantine, who added Sunday as a Sabbath along with a Saturday Sabbath. You can compare Daniel 7:25, where God said, "The great church, here it is, will think to change times and laws." Now, the Catholic Encyclopedia of all things confirms this fact, so I'm not talking out of school here. For the sake of all religions coming under the umbrella of ecumenism, the false prophet will impose only one day of worship. This will directly affect Christians who keep the seventh-day Sabbath.
Okay, so what then is the meaning of the name of the beast and his number of 666? Can we figure out what this means and come to some at least understanding of that?
We certainly can. And again, we can't dot every I and cross every T. We both agree to that, I'm sure. I'm not going to be able to share all the details, but suffice it to say that the letters of the name of the beast will have some sort of numerical significance. And that name's going to add up to 666. Interesting to note, three sixes in Scripture represent completeness, meaning this concludes man's misrule on earth. You can find a number of theological scholars that will support that thought. Now, our Arabic letters do not have numerical signs assigned to them. The ancient Babylonian or Chaldean language did, as does the Latin, Greek, and Hebrew languages. And the letters of the final Babylonian beast have numerical meanings that add up to 666. Just for interest, Nero Caesar, or Caesar Nero, added up to 666. Well, he's long dead, and we know he's not the coming beast. The word Latinus adds up to 666, but there's much dispute by scholars over that term. However, the discerning Christian will know these things in the end time because he or she will know where the beast power is and where the beast will rule. To discerning Christians, the mark, the number, or name, in a sense, Gary, is almost irrelevant since by any name, the beast and beast power will be painfully obvious. Still, Christ does tell us that the wise will calculate or count. Do a little research into European history and the Bible, and also keep current with political and religious events so they can understand what the mark, the number, or the name of the beast will be.
You know, it's a little bit, of course, amazing and a little bit intimidating, too, to look ahead and say that we have to be aware of these things. But I think you made a very good point. If you pick up any biblical commentary, they'll have all different ideas of what this number means and the name means. But when you know where it's going to be, that makes this a whole lot easier.
Well, that changes everything. Yeah.
And, of course, there's a lot more to be understood that we can address today about the beast, the mark of the beast, the number. But really, I want to thank you for sharing this important information with us today.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Thank you very much, Gary.
Many Christians are confused about the mark of the beast. It seems so mysterious and so secretive. It doesn't have to be. Jesus Christ wrote the book of Revelation in order to reveal, not cloud, these mysteries. The Bible indicates that the beast power of Revelation will be in Europe. The Bible also says that a great false prophet will compel peoples from all nations to take the mark of the beast. Beware that you don't. If you truly want to know what is coming in the future and how God can spare you from the terrible results of the mark of the beast, then you should read the Book of Revelation Unveiled. For your free copy, call 1-800-966-9232. Why were you born? There's a big difference between grasping the future God wants for you and simply going on the way you have been. The choice, it's up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
The book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, is to many people its most confusing. They find its strange symbols and images puzzling and mysterious. But it need not be so. The book's very name means a revealing, a way to gain understanding. Its first verse tells us it was written to reveal things which must shortly take place. We've prepared an exciting, eye-opening new booklet, The Book of Revelation Unveiled, to help you understand what will take place in the days ahead. For your free copy, call right now, 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, The Book of Revelation Unveiled, you can discover the truth of this surprising message Jesus Christ brought. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232. Order today.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.